Here's Eric listening in Chicago. Hi, Eric. What's up?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I really encourage people to give to Issues, et cetera, as it's the flagship of confessional liturgical Lutheranism in the world, I'd say, on the media.
Issues, etc. is listener-supported, and you can support the flagship of confessional liturgical Lutheranism in the media by making a secure online donation at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
Welcome back to Issues, etc. I found the headline intriguing, but what followed after the headline was even more intriguing. Headline reads, "Marriage may not be silver bullet for poverty, study says." Well, there's nothing remarkable about that, but as I read down, it says, "Getting hitched can also hitch you to a better financial future," or so a slew of data shows, but after years of the government throwing money at trying to promote marriage as a way to help single moms and their children out of poverty, some experts are arguing it's time to try something different. Now, I don't know whether I haven't been paying attention or whether I haven't been reading the right newspapers or watching the right websites, but I have not perceived the government throwing a lot of money trying to promote marriage as a way to help people out of poverty. Maybe it's happening at some scale. Well, the new study suggests that marriage isn't the solution everyone hoped it would be. That when single mothers get married, they don't stay married, and it doesn't necessarily improve their lot or their children's lot when it comes to the issues of poverty. We're going to be talking here in a few minutes with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse about this new study on marriage and poverty. I invite your questions and comments as well. Marriage has been viewed as not necessarily a panacea for poverty, but it certainly seems to be one of the ways to keep poverty from the wolf of poverty from the door. Our call-in number on this Tuesday afternoon, January the 14th, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Joining us to talk about this new study on marriage and poverty, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
The story that I'm looking at here references years of the government throwing money at trying to promote marriage as a way of helping single moms and their children out of poverty. And maybe I'm missing something here. Do you perceive of late that the U.S. government is expending a lot of its resources trying to promote marriage vis-a-vis poverty?
Well, there have been a few programs that were designed to do that, that were either marriage strengthening programs, marriage encouragement programs. But in the grand scheme of things, of the federal budget, yeah, it wasn't a whole lot of money, actually, compared to the marriage disincentives that are built into so many of the means-tested programs. Yeah, it's a drop in the bucket, actually.
Here's what Christy Williams, an associate professor of sociology at Ohio State University, has to say with respect to this new research. She says, "We are continuing to spend money on these healthy marriage initiatives, and I think the evidence is now clear that these are not effective policies. So it's time to start thinking about spending money in a way that's more likely to help single mothers and their children." And it goes on to talk about pregnancy prevention and similar kind of programs. What's your reaction there?
Well, you know, this is one of these things, you know, when you see something like this on NBC News, you need to drill down and find out what's really behind the story. And, you know, this is from a think tank that is a left-wing progressive type of think tank. They've never seen a poverty prevention program that they didn't like, you know, if it involves spending money on single parents. And they've never seen a marriage promotion program that they do like, you know. And so when you go and look at it, what you'll see is that it's really, in a sense, a propaganda piece. You know, kids don't really need a mom and a dad. Family dissolution is not really that big a deal. What we really need to do is give them more financial resources and everything will be fine. It's the same old that we've been hearing from these people for the last 40 years.
One of the pieces of data that's brought forth in the study is that when single mothers marry after having children, in the case of, you know, suffering poverty, they don't stay married. Half of them aren't married some period of time afterwards, and therefore they conclude that, well, that's not a good solution. That's kind of odd to me. That's like saying, you know, if people don't show up for the soup kitchen, soup kitchens are a bad solution for feeding people.
Well, you know, the thing about that is that it depends on what's the problem you're trying to solve. Where are you stepping into this cycle? And I think most of us who believe that marriage is an important step out of poverty, most of us would say that the way to do that is to get married and stay married before you start your family. And truly, when you look at the data these people cite, that's what the data show, you know. What's happening to these people is if you've already gotten pregnant with somebody that you didn't like well enough to be married to at the time the child was born, you're going to have a lifelong set of disadvantages associated with that. And getting married to that particular person may indeed not be the right thing. And I think a lot of your listeners who work with single, who work with crisis pregnancy centers know quite well that that's probably the case, right? A lot of the times people come in and there's a guy there and you really don't want to talk the girl into marrying this guy because he's not such a great guy. But the point is to talk people out of having sex with guys like that in the first place. That's the point. And that's what the Healthy Marriage Initiatives really ought to be doing. And that's what we as a culture ought to be saying, is that before you get in bed with somebody, ask yourself, what would you do if your contraception failed with this guy? You know, would you want to be with this guy for the rest of your life? Would you like to be married to him? If you don't want to be married to him, do you really want to be in a relationship with him mediated through the courts and having your child look to this guy and say, that's my daddy, why don't I get to see my daddy? If you don't want that kind of stuff happening with this particular guy, maybe you should stay out of bed with him, you know. And that's what our cultural elites refuse to say. They refuse to say there's a connection between sex and babies, and therefore the obvious connection between sex and marriage. That's what they don't want to say.
Talk about what I have taken to be kind of the unmistakable connection between the failure to marry and then have children. It doesn't happen in every case, but it certainly is a contributing factor to poverty, isn't it?
Yes, it really is. And one of the things that comes out when you study this population at some, you know, in some depth, which this particular person I don't think has, the person cited by NBC hasn't, but I also have a blog post about this on theroofblog.org. People can go over there and look at more detail, but there's a much more in-depth body of work that originated out of Princeton called the Fragile Family Studies. And what you find there is that one of the most harmful things for people is what is called multi-partner fertility. Okay, so in other words, the demographers had to come up with a new term to describe what's going on, to describe the churning in the lower classes that comes about from being married, having babies without being married. When you have a baby without being married, the odds are your next baby will be with somebody else, will be with another guy. They show that only 16%, that's 1/6% of women, of unmarried women, who are married to that child's father, of unmarried mothers, rather, are married to the child's father 5 years later. You know, so the number that ever get married, the number that stay married, it's a very low number if you start off unmarried. And so the point would be, you know, as you are indicating, and as I think common sense would indicate, be married before you have the child. And if the guy is not suitable to marry, stay out of bed with him, because the fact is all contraception fails sometimes. And that, it seems to me, is the responsible thing for the society to be saying to its least advantaged members, rather than dishing up some kind of ideological cocktail that sort of works for rich, educated people, but that really doesn't work at all for low-income, poorly educated people.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, because you have said often the social policies that are being pushed by the kind of the left elite work great if you're college educated, if you already have a secure and high-paying job. Single motherhood, there is a different world in a lot of ways economically than it is from what single motherhood looks like in the vast majority of cases.
Yes, and it's not just that single motherhood looks different. It's that unconnected, uncommitted sex looks different, because the vast majority of college-educated women get married before they have their first child. And so what they're doing is throughout their college years, throughout their graduate school years, throughout their beginnings of their professional lives and so on, they're contracepting, and they're doing so more successfully than lower-income people do, and they're having abortions, right? So they're willing to postpone childbearing for the sake of something that they want more, namely their careers. And so, therefore, by the time they have their first baby, by and large, they are married, and by and large, they stay married. And so it's the casual sex that looks different for the college-educated elite person than it does for the poorer person. It's not so much the, that they're becoming single moms, because they really aren't becoming single moms nearly as much as you might think, given the amount of uncommitted sex that they're going through. They're contracepting more successfully, and they're aborting. I suppose you might say with less inhibition. That's probably not right, because there's plenty of evidence that a lot of women all across the board turn out to regret their abortion. So there's a lot of complicating factors here, but the overriding picture is that it's sex that makes the babies, and so it's the attitude and sexual behavior that's really different between the upper classes and the lower classes.
I want your thoughts on this, Jennifer, because even the coverage of this new kind of shallow research admits that out of wedlock births, and therefore kind of that, as you have said so rightly here, the disconnect between marriage and childbearing is on the rise. What in the world is going on when someone says, you know, I think it almost sounds to me like they're saying, you know, poverty is a problem, but obviously the rise in out-of-wedlock births isn't. What's going on?
Well, what they're trying to say is that you can solve that problem with more money. See, and the lifestyle left has been saying that since the beginning of the sexual revolution. They want to believe that men and women can have equal access to sex without babies, right? And that babies are not going to have the same impact on women as they do on men. They want to equalize all of that stuff. And simple biology says that that's going to be an uphill fight, right? Because the biology of childbearing is something different for a woman than it is for a man. And so the people who are really, really obsessed with equality, they've honed in on that thing and said, you know, we can create equality. We could just pump enough money into making the single mother independent, financially independent of the father, then everything would be okay, and you could solve all these problems that they find, you know, so disturbing. But the fact is, we already know now, we have done this experiment for 40 or 50 years, and we know that the problems that are associated with out-of-wedlock childbearing, and certainly with multi-partner fertility, we know those problems do not go away with more money, right? In other words, if you look at two people who have the same amount of money and maybe even the same amount of education. This is what statisticians do all day long. You compare people who are similarly situated, except one has her children without a husband and one has her children with a husband. The kids who have a dad in the home are better off than the ones who don't. And the women who have stable marriages are better off than the women who are trying to go it alone. We cannot pay our way out of all of these problems. And so that's why this is a propaganda piece, this piece that NBC News put out. NBC News put out something, you know, they duly reported on a press release from a left-wing think tank, and it's propaganda. That's the way to understand it. We're trying to paper over the problems that are resulting from the sexual revolution. And the smallest amount of common sense will tell you that these problems are too real to be papered over with this kind of ideology. And by the way, they're too real to be papered over with marriage promotion programs, you know, a pathetic amount of money provided by the Bush administration 10 years ago. There's nowhere near enough oomph in those educational programs to deal with the kind of structural problems that we've got in this society. So, you know, I'm an equal opportunity critic here. You know, I have negative things to say about both political parties here, but the point is that the Christian view of marriage is being proven correct. the view that the Catholic Church holds, that the Lutheran Church traditionally held, all parts of the Lutheran tradition held.
About 15 seconds here.
That marriage belongs in, marriage and sex and childbearing belong together. That is being proven correct time and again. And the Ruth Institute, that's what we're all about. I hope your listeners will come see us at theruthinstitute.org.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love and Economics. You can find out more about the Ruth Institute and a one-day conference that they're sponsoring next month in Carlsbad, California, called Healing the 21st Century Family at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Jen, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss agnosticism with Pastor Mark Pearson. We'll also talk with Pastor Ben Ball about Jesus turning water into wine at the wedding at Cana. And we'll continue our series on witnessing Christ, talking with Dr. John Sias about law and gospel. Dr. John Sias is the author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Five Things You Can Do to Witness Christ. In the course of our conversation with him, we are discovering very quickly that this is not your typical evangelism book. It's not a how-to witness, but is in fact what a witness really is and what our witness to the world really is in the cross of Jesus Christ. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.